Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I want to encourage you to pick up your copy of All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo or its sequel, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. Each ebook examines the career and history of seven great fictional detectives or policemen and life lessons that can be learned from them. All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet also includes some additional articles from me, such as my favorite of the Yours Truly Johnny Dollar serials, the best Dragnet episodes, and some thoughts on some larger detectives. It's all available as part of All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. And you can get that as an audiobook or as an ebook wherever fine ebooks are sold. And you can find all my books, audiobooks, and ebooks at store.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, April the 22nd, 1947. And this one is The Millicent Bromley Ransom.
We've got to find that woman, you understand? We've got to find that girl, you hear?
Hey, Inspector Faraday, we can't hear you when you pound your desk like that.
You'll pound a beat if you don't find the Bromley girl, Carson. And the same goes for the rest of you, too.
Look, Inspector, this is the homicide department. How come the pressure's on us to find her?
Because the pressure's on the whole force. And what's more, this kind of thing leads to murder sometimes. More than sometimes. And we want to get to work before there's a murder.
Okay.
No, it isn't okay. What have we done so far?
Inspector,
we've
got every radio car in the city in operation. We've called in all off-duty men, canceled all...
I know what we've done, Carlson. And I know what we haven't done, too. We haven't found Millicent Bromley. She's just a 22-year-old, see? A girl who's done nobody any harm, see? And she's in the hands of thugs, see? Now, we're supposed to be great, big, strong he-men. We're supposed to be policemen. We're supposed to protect the people of this city from accidents and crimes. Yet we can't even help a 22-year-old girl. Faraday speaking.
Inspector Faraday, this is Shorty. You know, Shorty, Boston Blackie's friend.
Yeah, I know who you are, Shorty. So don't bother me. I'm busy.
Yeah, I know that, Inspector Faraday. That's why I'm calling. I can make you unbusy.
Oh, you can, can you?
Yep.
Well, isn't that nice? Now, look, Shorty, I've got...
But you
got
to listen to me, Inspector Faraday. Blackie's out of town.
Oh, Blackie's out of town, is he? That's wonderful. Now, why don't you get out of town, too? Then I'll solve this case the way it ought to be solved.
Inspector Faraday... I just talked to Blackie's girlfriend, Mary Wesley, and she talked to Blackie. He's in California.
You talk to Miss Wesley, and Miss Wesley talked to Blackie. So what? What do I care? I'm busy looking for a missing girl. Now, goodbye.
Oh, gee, Inspector Faraday, don't hang up. I know you're looking for a girl. It's Millicent Bromley, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Millicent Bromley. And I suppose you know right where she is.
I sure do, Inspector Faraday. She's right here in my room.
And now on to tonight's adventure of Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
There's Shorty's door, Carlson, at the end of the hall.
You think he was on the level about having the Bromley girl, Inspector Faraday?
I don't know. If he does, this case is awful easy. I haven't had an easy case in 10 years. We'll know in a minute. Open up, Shorty. It's Faraday. Open up!
Come on in, Inspector Faraday.
Hey, what's the matter with you, Shorty? You're bleeding. Grab him, Carlson, before he falls down.
I got him, Inspector.
Thanks.
You better sit down, bud.
Yeah, sure.
All right. There you are.
You know, you guys got here too late.
Hey, what happened to you, Shorty? Where's the Bromley girl?
I don't know, Inspector Faraday.
Uh-oh, Faraday. You said this might be one of Blackie's gags?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, Inspector. This ain't no gag. She was here, but somebody slugged me from behind, and when I came to, she was gone.
Oh, yeah?
So help me, that's the truth.
Take this down, will you, Carlson?
You bet, Inspector.
Okay. Now, Shorty, Blackie put you up to this, didn't he?
No.
It's his idea of a gag. Or maybe he's mixed up in this.
Honest, Inspector, all Blackie had to do with this was to tell me to call you up and say the girl was here.
But the girl wasn't here, was she?
But she was, Inspector Faraday. Honest, she was. She was right there on that couch there when I was talking to you on the phone.
All right, she was right there on the couch. How'd she happen to get here? You grabbed her, didn't you?
No, honest, Inspector Faraday. She was here when I got here. And the professor was here, too. He said she was his niece.
The professor? Who's he?
He's a guy I know. Nice guy, too. He's used my room before, but he's never brought anybody with him before. Especially anybody he swiped.
How did you know the Bromley girl wasn't the professor's niece if the professor said she was his niece?
Well, the professor left and told me to let the girl sleep. I turned on the radio in the other room, and I heard what the Bromley girl was wearing. Now, this girl was wearing the same thing.
Sure.
I went over to wake her up and ask her if she was the Bromley girl, and then I saw she was doped. And then, suddenly, something hit me on the head.
You're lying, Shorty.
If I'm lying, you think I hit myself on the head?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Ah!
I think this whole thing is phony. Now, come on, who's this professor? Is that Blackie, or is he something else Blackie dreamed up?
No. Honest, Inspector Faraday. The professor's a real guy.
He's real, huh?
Yeah.
All right, where does he live?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't, huh? Well, isn't that convenient? Shorty, you're number one on my suspicion parade. And maybe the charge will be murder, which is another way of saying you're under arrest.
You recovered the Bromley girl from Shorty's room without Shorty seeing you, didn't you, Tommy?
Oh, sure, Professor. He didn't even know what hit him. And the Bromley dame's still sleeping in the next room.
Splendid. Now, I want you and Bill to listen to me very closely.
I think I know what we're going to do next, Professor.
I hope you do, Tommy. But Bill here wasn't present for the initial proceedings. I think we had best...
One thing I don't savvy yet, Prof, is why we stashed the dame at Shorty's in the first place and then had a conk Shorty to get her back.
Well, Bill, I didn't want to bring her directly here to my place until I was certain the police had no description of me. So it was expedient for the girl and I to remain in someone else's abode until I could ascertain whether or not it was safe to lodge her here.
Oh, I get it. Nobody spotted you snatching a dame, so after a couple of hours at Shorty's, it was okay for us to get her out of Shorty's, huh?
Your powers of deduction are brilliant, Bill. But now for your instructions. I managed the girl this far. As Tommy knows, she'll be in your care from now on.
Yeah, sure, Prof.
We keep her here, Prof?
No, Bill. You will take her out to our farm and wait there for the delivery of the ransom money. When you have the money, bring it here to me.
Hey, look, Prof, it's a long way out to the farm. What if the Bromley dame wakes up on the way out and starts yelling?
I don't think you'll have any trouble with her, Tommy, asleep or awake.
Well, if we do...
Oh, no, you won't, Tommy. We'll have none of that.
Oh, but, Prof, if she starts to queer our plan...
The girl is not to be mistreated in any way, do you understand?
Well, I'll see that everything goes all right, Professor.
I'm certain you will, Tommy.
And what about after we get the dough? What do we do with the dame then?
Release her, by all means. And show her the greatest courtesy while she's in your care.
Okay. Now, how do we get the money?
My dog will bring it to the shack.
Huh?
The dog, Prof... How's the dog going to bring us some money? Where's the dog going to get it?
The ransom note I have just prepared states that they will find my dog leashed to a tree on the Oxford Road, 6 miles west of Havensville.
Yeah?
They are to strap the packages of money, $50,000, in $20 and $50 bills, all old money, to the dog's back and untie him from the tree. Mm. And then say, now, go home. The dog... We'll do the rest.
Yeah, but, Professor, won't somebody follow the dog?
Why do you think I'm going to such fantastic measures to procure the ransom money, Tommy? Perhaps someone will try to follow my dog, but it'll be impossible. I have trained him for months to run a devious course at top speed and to duck through thickets and backtrack in the densest underbrush. And parts of the terrain over which he will travel with the ransom money will be impassable to man. No, Tommy, no one will follow my dog. But they're perfectly welcome to try.
Inspector Faraday, I know you're doing everything possible to find my daughter, but can't you do the impossible and get her back?
Mr. Bromley will do anything to find that daughter of yours. But you can help us if you give us the details of the ransom
note. But I haven't received a note.
Mr. Bromley, I know exactly how you feel about this. You think you're protecting your daughter by not cooperating with the police because the note says not to contact the police.
But, Inspector Faraday, you must believe me. I have not received a note.
You haven't, huh?
No. But when I do, you can be sure I'll contact you no matter what the note says.
Will you promise me that? Even if the note warns you not to come to us?
I'm no fool, Inspector. I know you can handle these fellows far better than I.
Well, I'm glad you realize that. If more people realize that, there'd be far less crime.
You'll get complete cooperation from me, don't worry. But isn't there anything you can do before I get the note?
We've done all we could on the leads we've had.
Well, this Shorty person, what does he know about it?
I don't know. He tells a story that makes some sense, but not enough to suit me. I still think he's mixed up in this some way. Or Boston Blackie is.
You're holding Shorty?
No, I had to let him go. Not enough on him.
Well, this story he tells about a professor. Perhaps that's your lead.
It is a lead, and we're working on it. But so far, we haven't been able to find any professor.
But certainly this Shorty must know where he lives if he knows him well enough.
Mr. Bromley, you don't know underworld people. If Shorty's telling the truth about a professor, he may also be telling the truth when he says he doesn't know where he lives. Well, some of the best-known people in the underworld have hideouts that no one knows about. Not even members of their own gang.
Oh, I see.
Don't worry, Mr. Bromley. We'll find... Come in.
Inspector Faraday.
Yeah, Carlson, what do you want?
I've got something you want, Inspector. We got a tip on where a guy they call the professor may be hiding out.
Oh, thank heaven.
You have, huh? Good, where?
In a brown house on Front Street between Canal and the Bay Bridge Ramp.
Front Street, huh?
Yep.
That's near where Shorty lives. Maybe he was telling the truth.
Inspector, now maybe we'll find my daughter.
I hope so, Mr. Bromley. Maybe you'd like to come along with us. I'm going down to Front Street in person to teach that professor a lesson. Here's the professor's house, Mr. Bromley.
Are you sure?
Yes. The tip said it was a brown house on Front Street, didn't it, Carlson?
Yes, sir, and between Canal Street and the Bay Bridge Ramp. This is the only brown house on the block. Want me to go in first, Inspector?
No, I'll go first. You and Mr. Bromley follow.
We have to find Millicent here, Inspector. This is our only lead to her.
Well, there's still Shorty. We can pick him up any time we want to.
Oh, on what grounds, Inspector? We never saw him with her. We can't charge him with anything.
I know that, but we... Well, let's go in and have a chat with this professor.
There won't be shooting, will there?
If there is, Mr. Bromley, I'll start it. My gun's all set.
Hey, why not try the door, Inspector? It might be open.
All right, but watch it. You'd better step back a few feet, Mr. Bromley.
That's all right, Inspector. I'm not afraid.
Door's open. Let's go in. But slowly, slowly.
Doesn't look to me as if this house has been lived in lately.
Yeah, some people don't care how they live, Carlson.
Inspector, there's a light shining from under that door. There.
Yeah, I just saw it, Mr. Bromley. Come on, let's have a look. Ready with your gun, Carlson.
Ready.
But be careful. He may be holding my daughter as a shield. Please, be careful.
We'll watch out, Mr. Bromley. Okay. I'm going to try the door.
I'm all set. Fling her open if she isn't locked.
And there's our professor. Okay, Prop, put the...
Matter, Inspector Faraday?
Nothing much, Mr. Bromley. But there's a lot the matter with the professor. He's dead.
And now, back to our story. Twenty-two-year-old Millicent Bromley is missing, but is later found by Shorty, a friend of Boston Blackie. Shorty learns that the girl is stolen and gets in touch with Boston Blackie, who's out of town. Blackie tells Shorty to contact Faraday of the police. Shorty calls Inspector Faraday, but before the inspector gets to Shorty's room, Shorty is knocked out and the girl stolen from him. Shorty claims a man named the Professor brought the girl to his room, but when the police find the Professor, he's dead. As we return to our story, Shorty has been released by the police. And in the Bromley home, the phone rings.
Hello.
You Bromley?
Yes.
Did you get our little note about the ransom?
Yes, I just this minute received it. Are you the man who has my daughter?
I'll ask the questions. But I'll answer that one with a yeah.
I got your note. I'll pay your money. Only give me back my daughter.
You'll get her back, Bromley. But did you read that little note real good?
Yes, yes, I read it.
Well, it said, don't tell the police what's in it. Did you read that?
Yes, I did.
Well, remember that, pal. Or forget about your daughter.
Oh, I'll be... Hello. Hello. Oh, he hung up. Coming, coming. Yes?
I'd like to talk to Mr. Harold Bromley, if it's okay.
I'm Harold Bromley.
Oh, hiya. I'm Shorty. I guess you've heard of me.
I certainly have. I...
You got a minute so I could talk to you?
Definitely. Come in, come in.
Thanks.
The police have released you, I trust.
Yeah, but they'll nab me again if we don't find your kid. I'm still in a jam. Look, I just been talking to my friend Boston Blackie long distance, see, and he asked me to come and see you.
Your friend Blackie is going to help me find my daughter?
He's trying to now, Mr. Bromley.
But how can he help me when he's out of town?
Oh, he'll be here tomorrow, but he figured he might help even before he got here. If you tell him what's in that note...
Well, I intend to tell Inspector Faraday of the police, in spite of the fact that I just had a phone call warning me not to... But do you think it's wise for me to tell Blackie, too?
Well, if you're smart enough to spill it to the cops, you sure can't go wrong spilling it to Blackie. You know, Blackie comes up with some shortcut ideas every now and then.
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
Sure.
All right. Here's what the note says. The money, $50,000 in old bills in 20s and 50s, is to be taken by car to a tree on the Oxford Road, 6 miles west of Havensville.
Uh-huh, I got it.
There'll be a dog near the tree.
A dog? What cooks?
The money is to be strapped to the dog's back. I am to untie the dog and say, now go home. And that will be that.
Why, that's the nuttiest thing I ever heard.
I'm afraid it's rather clever, though, Shorty. They cautioned me not to try to leash the dog. He'll balk. He won't move. And not to try to follow it. It'll be impossible.
Well, it is, huh? Well, maybe so. Look, when do you have to kick in with the ransom money?
At midnight, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, huh? Okay, now I'll tell you what. Just so those guys can't say you double-crossed them, I'll go to the cops. That note sure didn't say nothing about me.
Sunset Parkway. Good evening.
Hello, Harry. This is Shorty.
Oh, yeah, Shorty.
Any more news from Blackie?
Well, there's a telegram here for you.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I guess it's from Blackie telling me what plane he's coming in on.
Well, it got here just 3 minutes ago.
Read it to me, will you?
Okay, just a minute.
Yeah, good.
Here you are, Shorty.
Okay. Read it slow.
Okay, it's from Blackie, all right.
What plane's he coming in on?
Well, here's what his wire says.
Yeah?
Weather impossible. All planes grounded. Phone me here about note as soon as you know something. Signed, Blackie.
Okay, Harry, I'll do that. Blackie says he'll tell me what to do next, huh? Gee, I sure hope so. Yeah, Blackie, I got it. Oh, gee, that's a swell idea, Blackie. But the note says not to tell the cops what's in it. Well, okay, if you think it's okay. Yeah, I'll go see Inspector Faraday right away. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Look, Shorty, you want to spend the rest of your life in this office of mine?
Maybe. Now look, Inspector. I came here to tell you what was in the ransom note Mr. Bromley got.
He got the note? You know what's in it?
Sure.
How do you know? Did you write it?
No, I didn't. Mr. Bromley told me what was in it.
He told you?
Uh-huh.
Why didn't you say so in the first place?
Because you've been screaming your head off ever since I walked in that door.
Well, I'll scream some more if you wait any longer to tell me what's in that note.
Okay. Here it is. Now, at midnight tonight, we take $50,000 in old bills, 20s and 50s, to a tree on the Oxford Road, 6 miles west of Havensville.
I know, the old gag. Leave it in a hole in the tree, huh?
Oh, no. There'll be a dog there.
Yeah, I thought... A dog?
Yeah, a dog, tied to the tree. We strap the money on the dog's back, untie the dog, and he scrams with the dough.
That's fine. Just how are we going to follow a dog? Those things can run, and they probably got this one trained to break records.
Yeah, I guess maybe they have, Inspector Faraday. But Blackie's come up with an idea how we can trail the dog without following him.
He has.
Uh-huh.
How are we going to do it? Tie rockets to our pants? You better hurry, Mr. Bromley. It's almost midnight. We
yes,
want to release
Inspector.
The dog here right on the dot of 12.
It's almost done, Inspector Faraday. My hands are shaking so I can hardly... There. Seems secure enough.
Good. Now, here's where we start fooling these guys.
How, Inspector? We'll never be able to follow this dog by trying to run after it.
No. But we can do something so we can watch where he goes. Now, look around you, Mr. Bromley. What do you see?
Well... Nothing but darkness.
Yeah, pitch darkness. But in that darkness are hills. Pretty high hills, too. I have men posted on the top of nearly every hill in the vicinity.
Will they be able to see the dog?
No, they won't be able to see the dog, even using binoculars. That is, not as the dog is now. Shorty, do you have that can of luminous paint?
Yeah, sure. It's right here, Inspector. I'm putting it on the dog's tail now.
Oh, now I see what you're going to do.
Put some on the dog's sides, too, Shorty. A nice wide band of it, huh?
Yeah, I'm doing that right now. Say, this paint won't hurt him, will it?
No, I checked into that. The stuff's non-poisonous.
Oh, good.
We'll get it off after it's served its purpose.
What happens now? Do your men watch the dog through binoculars and then go to wherever the dog stops?
No. They're all equipped with field radios, Mr. Bromley, and they'll radio the dog's progress and eventual destination right here to us. Let the dog go, Shorty.
Okay, boy. Now go home. Hey, Goose. Go on, Scram Puppy. Have a good run, boy. Wow, look at him go.
And look how clearly you can see the luminous paint on his tail and sides.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Bromley. Let's go back to my car, see what's on the radio.
This is Sergeant Lawrence in north position. The dog just crossed Highway 6 going due west. I followed him straight west until he disappeared into a pass.
This is Carlson, west position. The dog just passed below us, heading up the bank of the Owl River. 7 miles from the Staten Bridge. He's now heading into open country in the direction of Plainfield.
This is Williams on a hill near Plainfield. The dog just arrived at the farmhouse 18 miles north of Plainfield. As I'm watching now, the door has been opened by someone on the inside. The dog has entered the house. All right, Inspector Faraday, it's all yours.
40,920, 40,920.
You know, Tommy, I still don't see why we knocked off the professor.
But, Bill, we got rid of the professor because $50,000 splits bigger two ways than four.
Four ways?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a surprise for you, Bill.
Huh?
You, the professor, and I make three, but the Bromley girl makes four.
Huh? I don't get it.
This was a deal cooked up by the Bromley dame herself to get money from her tightwad father.
Are you leveling? The prof didn't snatch that dame?
No. Neither did we when we took her out of Shorty's room. Now, that was all a part of the Bromley girl's deal with the professor. The professor said he'd go in with her if he could drug her and keep her in somebody else's joint while the heat was good and hot.
Well, any dame that'd do that to her own father just to get money from him, what...
Hey,
what's happened to the lights?
Well, what do you think happened to them? They went out.
We didn't touch a thing. We didn't...
Hey, I don't like this. Let's get out of here.
Okay, but what about the Bromley dame?
Never mind her. Come on. We'll run across the yard to the barn.
All right, you guys. Stay where you are.
A lot of cops.
Don't move either, Luke. Grab them, boys.
They never have time to reach their guns, Inspector.
That's a good thing, Carlson.
Yeah, we know when to be good boys.
Yeah? Where's the Bromley girl?
Still in the house.
Okay, Carlson. Send one of the men in after him.
Okay. Go. Go on in after
him. Now we have the men we want, the ransom money, and the Bromley woman. Maybe this was all Blackie's idea, but I did it just as well as if Blackie himself were here.
Police headquarters, homicide.
Carlson, this is Inspector Faraday.
Oh, yes, Inspector. Where are you? The commissioner wants to congratulate you.
I'm home in bed. I just had an idea. You know where Blackie is?
Still grounded on the coast, I hear, but there...
Well, I want to send him a wire. Take this down.
Yes, sir, but...
Here it is. Recovered Millicent Bromley, who was just pretending to be kidnapped to extort money from her own father.
But...
Men, I thought, abductors killed Professor, as you said they did. But I add a touch of my own in capture to protect Bromley girl.
But...
Cut power lines to farmhouse, knowing they would fear trap when house went dark. They ran out of house, and I nabbed them without endangering girl. Who's brilliant now? Sign it, Faraday, huh?
Just a minute, Inspector. I've been trying to tell you. There's a wire here for you. Got here about 6 hours ago, according to Death Sergeant.
6 hours ago, huh?
Yeah.
And that was before we got to the farmhouse. It's probably from Blackie with some crazy no-good idea. Read it to me anyway.
Yes, sir. Just a minute. Here it is, here. From Blackie, all right.
What's he say?
He says, judge from use of dog, kidnappers are holed up in farmhouse or country home. To avoid danger to Millicent Bromley in event of shooting, suggest you cut power lines. Throwing house in darkness will possibly force them outside where you can nab them without risking life of girl.
Don't bother reading the rest of it, Carlson. And don't bother sending my wire to Blackie. And wipe that smile off your face, Carlson. It isn't that funny.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, a sort of odd episode, though not unprecedented, where you have Boston Blackie, but not with Boston Blackie. There are also episodes of Nick Carter and Casey Crime Photographer, so this was far from unheard of, particularly when you consider that Boston Blackie was a program that aired year-round. So it would happen on occasion that the star would not be available. Sometimes they would replace the actor who usually played the lead character with another actor, and that was done on a lot of series like Michael Shane or The Man Called X or Let George Do It. But sometimes the script was just written so that you didn't have to have the lead character there. And even then, Blackie got the last word. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. And we'll start with a comment regarding episode 2460. Tim comments on the website, just got around to listening to this. Your comments on the plot were on the money. There was another problem. In the opening, the bookie answered the phone, and some extras were also heard taking bets. The second voice was Faraday, and a little later, Dick Comer was heard in the background. Undercover assignment at the bookmakers? No, just the principal actors doubling as extras. I was waiting for Blackie and Faraday to bust the holdup man, or at least explain their presence. Well, good catch, Tim, and I will say that that sort of doubling up even does happen today in audio dramas. I listen to a lot of the Big Finish productions, and whenever they have monsters or crowd, the way they do that with the audio drama is they actually will have actors, including the principal actors on the program, make the animal sounds or crowd sounds or whatever, you know, massive voice work they're needing. So if you listen to a Big Finish Doctor Who audio drama, often the doctor actor will be playing some of the monster voices, but generally in a bit more subtle way. If it's obvious that you're hearing that voice, then it's a bit more problematic. Good catch, Tim. Thanks for the comment. Now we have a comment from David, who says, "Hi, Adam." And this one, I should say, comes in regards to episode 2472, the Aggie Rogers murder. "I know that the plots of Boston Blackie often seem too absurd to be real, but the Aggie Rogers murder is actually a case of truth being stranger than fiction. The script is based on the real-life story of the Collier brothers. The Collier brothers, both of whom were quite elderly, were extreme hoarders who lived together in a huge ramshackle mansion in Harlem that they had outfitted with booby traps. Homer Collier was paralyzed and never left home. He relied on his brother Langley, who rarely left the home, to feed and care for him. One day, one of their neighbors called the police, complaining of a smell coming from the Collier house. When police went inside, they had to climb over all the hoarded items and avoid the booby traps. They eventually found Homer's body, but couldn't find Langley. They assumed Langley had killed Homer and fled, but eventually discovered Langley's body inside the home. He had been caught in one of the booby traps and died of a heart attack, leaving Homer to starve to death. Police eventually removed 120 tons of junk from the Collier mansion. When did all this happen, you might ask? Homer's body was found on March 27, 1947, while Langley wasn't found until April 8th. The air date of the Aggie Rogers murder was April 8th, 1947, meaning this story was ripped from the headline for audiences of the day. Of course, this also means that the writers of this episode, in making one sister the murderer of the other, were simply going along with what was then the current police theory about Homer Collier's death. Thanks so much for the tip, David, and appreciate your historical insight. You never can really know all of the history, so it's great when listeners fill in those details. I appreciate that. Finally, I have a comment from John who says, "Dear Mr. Graham, first, I want to tell you that I love your podcast. I haven't missed an episode in over a year. I wanted to tell you first so that you know I'm meant to be helpful with my criticism. Please, please, please consider using a pop filter on your mic. Episode 2472 is a classic example of what I'm talking about. Listen to your commentary on a large, full-range audio system and the boom of bass every time you puff into the mic will be heard like an explosion. Once again, thank you for the podcast, and I love the show. Hopefully you'll keep the episodes coming in, coming to us for years to come. Thank you, John." Well, John, I appreciate the suggestion, and in fact, during this episode, as well as the previous one, I'm been using a pop filter that I got off of Amazon, and I hope it makes a difference for you as well as for our other listeners. If you notice difference, good or bad, these last couple episodes or in the weeks to come, please, please let me know. That will be helpful to know. Is this working? Do we need to consider another pop filter, or was it not necessary? Have the lack of pops ruined your listening experience? Feel free to drop me a comment, but I do appreciate your feedback, John, and I'm giving it a try to see if it can work to make the show better. So thank you so much. All right, that will do it for today. If you do have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives, and check out our YouTube archive, youtube.greatdetectives.net. Remember, tomorrow, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Next Thursday, another episode of Boston Blackie. And next Tuesday, it's the return of Man from Homicide. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.